The Know Your Gear Podcast.
I got drunk once and found out how fast Sweetwater can ship.
Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome to the Know Your Gear Podcast. I hope you guys had a fantastic week. Have a funny story to tell you guys, and at least I think it's funny. So I'll be sharing the funny story that I think is funny. And for a little while, I'll wear the headphones just to make sure I don't mess things up again like last week. I think I fixed it, but we will see. We will see. All right. As always, I want to thank you guys joining me live. If you're live, keep in mind that if you see a blue name with a wrench next to it, that means our moderators are here to help you and me. They can send me messages and stuff. In fact, let me make sure I have that up and fired up and ready to go in case they do. And also, if you see somebody's name in green, it just means they're a patron or patron member on YouTube or a channel member. So we have patrons and channel members. It's just what you decide to do. If you go on the patron side or if you go on the channel member side, either way, I appreciate it. It supports this channel. And that's why I want to start with the most exciting part of the week. I should have screen grabbed the stuff and I didn't. So this week was my birthday week. I had a birthday this week. It's always nice. And on my birthday, I got an update. You know, you get these weekly charts, you know, how your channel's doing on the charts, like on the podcast charts. And on iTunes, the Know Your Gear podcast broke into the top 100 podcasts under the category of music, which is a big category. I mean, music history, I think we're in the top 10, you know what I mean? And I think we're under also do-it-yourself or a couple of the categories. Podcasts get put under different categories. But under the term music, which is the biggest category for a podcast that I can kind of punch in, to be in the top 100 was pretty exciting for us. So that was very, very exciting for me. And so I just want to thank you guys for that. That's awesome. Beyond awesome. So, and somebody actually sent me a great question this week that didn't have anything to do, know that was going to happen. And they asked, what do you get paid for doing podcasts? You get paid zero. But that's why we have sponsors, which we have the patrons and the channel members who sponsor the podcast. So so that's what's great. So, yeah, although the pat on the back is merely just a chart, you know, to say, hey, you're doing good or you're doing okay. Yeah, there's no like we're not woohooing the financial side, but that doesn't matter. Trust me, we're taken care of financially because you guys sponsor and kick ass doing that. Oh, should I said it kicked that doing that? So I have a beep thing. I could use it now. So, I have a lot of questions penned. I have a lot of stuff to, pen. I don't know if I should get right into the fun stuff. I think I'll take a question or two and then we'll get into the fun story, that involves, doesn't involve my birthday, but involves something about close to it. So I appreciate the happy birthday wishes. So, and then maybe somebody asked me how old I am. I'll talk about that too, after we get into some guitar stuff, cause I don't want to keep people waiting. Let's get into the first question I saw today, which was from Brent, who says, hey, happy birthday, Phil. What can I do if I cut the pickup leads too short to solder the wiring a harness? In other words, his wires to his pickups too short. Is there an easy fix or should I get professional to help? The yes to both questions. You can have someone professionally solder new leads onto any pickup, whether it's a humbucker or a single coil or a P90, doesn't matter, can be done. Can you do it? Absolutely. When I say professional, it's not because it's hard. It's just a lot easier to do it if you know what you're doing. So if it is an inexpensive pickup and you want to give it a shot to do it yourself, I say go ahead and have at it. And there's tons of videos on YouTube. I think even Dylan Talks Tone might have a video on that one. If not, it was somebody that maybe I'm thinking of somebody that reminded me of his videos did it. But either way, it's something you should be able to Google. And more importantly, there's a couple other fixes besides that. So basically, yes, you could add, you could just make a pickup brand new begin, basically. So, you know, you can do that, or you can put extensions on it. And it's a lot easier if it's a 2-conductor wire pickup, you can extend it out. No problem. You know, that's the great thing about it being underneath the hood. Oh, you guys are really kind with your like 42. It's 42 years ago, 46. That's nice. You guys can guess if you want. I'll tell you the answer. I don't have a problem telling the answer. I just have to explain why I always say the wrong answer all the time. So anyways, yes, the answer is you can not only fix it correctly by putting a new lead on any pickup, which is the correct way to do it. You know, to go from the base of where they start and put new leads on them, whether it's a four conductor or a two conductor pickup, or you could just put extensions. I mean, really, who cares, right? Like I said, I do that all the time. It depends. I can tell you right now, when people come in with problems and they would bring it into the shop and have me work on it, it was really just a cost analysis and time analysis thing, right? So somebody's like, I just want it to work. Yeah. All right. So you just kind of put some extensions on there and make it look as clean and nice as you can. And if they were like, no, this pickup means something to me, or this is a great pickup and I want it, I don't want that done. Some people may argue in the comments, which they always will, that no, if you put extenders or if you do all this stuff, it's going to change the tone, or it's going to, whatever. All of that is true and not true at the same time. Isn't that funny? That's the best thing about this. Everything affects the sound to some degree. It's not that I'm never going to argue it doesn't. It's just, does it matter to you is what you need to discover for yourself. You know, to me, going losing that little, I don't know, 0.0001% of treble tone that you can make up on a knob, I don't know if I worry about that. But yeah, the answer is yes, you can fix it. So everybody stops. I'll tell you. So I've been telling everybody I'm 50 for a long time now. My wife hates it, actually, so you know, she hates that I say that all the time. She, in fact, if I say it around her, she's like, you're not 50. I actually think it's cool to be 50. I don't know why. Probably like how kids thought it was cool to be 18 and like start telling people they're 18 when they were 16, 17. So I don't know. Once I hit my early 40s to even early mid 40s, I started just telling everybody I'm 50. So the reason I tell you that is I've been saying that so long that I always have to take a second to remember actually how old I am. I'm 49. So I'm going to be 50. I want to tell you why I say that. Okay. I tell everybody I'm 50 for a reason. Because I decided probably, I can't remember when I did this. Like I said, it could have been as long as 7 years ago. I think it was in the last 5 years or so. I just started telling people I was 50 when they asked. I'm planning to tell everybody I'm 50 for a long time. I was telling people I'm 50 when I was 45. I'll tell them I'm 50 when I'm 55. I just, because I don't really care. And sometimes you forget. For the young people in the audience, I know it sounds like either you're going senile or you're stupid or something's wrong with you. But the reality is, after a while, you start forgetting things like that because birthdays really don't matter and stuff like that. So that's what it is. So now you have the answer. I was born in 74. Yes. So there's the answer. 74. There you go. Somebody says, young man, see, you know what? I'll take it. Like I said, it's I have it lucky. So you guys know this is why I don't really talk about it too much. It's not for any reason that anybody can expect. I lost my hair when I was like 21. Like they buzz cut my, well, it was actually earlier than 21, actually, I think. Anyways, they buzz cut my hair in the Army. And this is, I think I told the story before, when they buzzed my head in the Army, which hurt, by the way, because they grind your scalp. At least it hurt when you're a kid. And I remember the guy going, getting a little thin on top, son. I was like, what? And then when you finally got out of basic and you got AIT and you could have a high and tight, my hair was high, but not tight. So I was like, hey, something's up here. So here's why I say that. I've been shaving or bald for my whole life, pretty much, you know, longer. Let me put it this way. I've been bald much longer than I've been not bald. Why does that matter? Because you look older than you are when you're bald until you get old, and then you look younger than you are. My wife hates it, loves it, love hates it, as she said, because she says, like, she said in my 20s, I looked like I was in my mid-30s, and then in my 40s, she started looking like my 30s and 50s probably look like my, I don't know. So that's what she said. She said I don't age because I looked old really, really fast and then I stayed there forever. I think that's what she explained to me. I don't really care. I just thought I'd explain why I say what I say. All right. Okay. So there you go. We need to get back to guitar stuff. Otherwise this will go down shenanigans trail. So it says, What's the next one? Martin Leahy. Martin Leahy said, hey, Phil, does humidity or lack thereof affect speakers, either tone or damage? I don't know because I live in a very dry climate. So let me just say, in the dry climate, I've never had any dry climate damage the speakers. I'm sure it's so hot and dry here that it could you know, have some effect on a speaker. I've never seen it other than speakers that are just really old, you know, speakers, you know, obviously that stuff. Moisture, I think, is probably, if it, to me, is a guess, and I'm guessing because I'm not a amp speaker guy. Remember, I'm a guitar guy, but as an, my guess would be moisture would be more damaging to speakers than dry just because of they're most of them are paper. I could be wrong because the dryness could be worse in the idea of glue. That's one of those things. What's funny enough is we could probably get a speaker expert on the channel and have a discussion like that one time. I've often liked to try to get some more people on the podcast, you know, in another field. That's and just maybe have us, you know, kind of have at them and pick their brains for an episode. That'd be nice, really, really nice. Jamie turned 48 today. Congratulations, Jamie. That's awesome, man. So anyways, I gotta stay on track. So back to the speakers. Also moisture, you know, obviously you can get mold and that could be bad too. But as far as I know, nothing in particular besides the extremes. I mean, to anything in extreme is probably not good. You know, like if the humidity got so humid that it was in water, it'd be bad. So there you go. All right. Hey, Phil, has there been a heat advisory? Wait, there has been a heat advisory in my area. I think you and everyone else. This has been a hot summer, at least in the United States it has. My Strat. Oh, by the way, so side note, 2019, I spent July in Germany. And I remember that summer, it was hotter in Germany than it was in Arizona. And so I know it can get hot because that was brutal. That was a brutal summer in Germany that year. So anyways, my Strat has a nitro finish and he was laying it on the carpet floor. And now there is an impression on the carpet on the back of the guitar. Is it repairable? Well, the good thing about nitrocellulose lacquer is it is repairable because little fun fact for you guys on nitrocellulose lacquer. And again, not a paint expert, but I do have a couple paint experts as friends. Nitrocellulose lacquer never 100% cures. It never fully cures. That means that it can always be manipulated to some extent. In other words, it can be sanded and reshot and blended. And I know it's a lot easier to work with for a lot of my painter friends. Some of my painter friends say it's the opposite because they're so used to the urethanes and the polyurethanes. But from my understanding, stuff like that can be sanded and fixed. But I would suggest before you contact anybody, because again, I'm not a paint guy, so I'm not an expert. I'm just giving you some generalized information here. I would definitely hang it on the stand or the wall, especially if you have a hanger stand where it's not touching anything, or even put it in your case as long as it's the fitted correct case for that guitar. In other words, it doesn't have any, has a smooth interior in it. And believe it or not, it can sometimes correct itself. I've had lacquer get spots in it, especially like not a dent, but like what you're saying, like a little wavering kind of thing. Like it got like it molded into something. You can literally, maybe it will fix itself. I can't guarantee it will, but I've seen it do other things, but it can be fixed. If it's something that's concerning you, if that's something that's like, oh no, it's ruined forever, I would say, no, it's not ruined forever. So, all right. Okay, Scott Davidson said, hey, I wish I was there live. I'm going to have to miss the show because I'm doing a second gig. Congratulations on your second gig, man. We were excited for your first one. Second one, more excited. He says he's using his Badlands GX1 tonight. Such a nice instrument. I'm glad you like it. Obviously, the guys at Badland are very excited that you like it as well. So thank you for that, and thank you for the shout-out. That's really cool. We'll talk about anything Badlands. Like I always say, we'll push that to the end of the show because it doesn't pertain to everybody. And as although I like to keep to more of the what everyone can learn from this experience and not so much like just the guitar company itself, we always try to push that to the end of the show if I don't stumble across my own words. Brian says, hey there, Phil. Does anyone in your family play an instrument? No. No one plays an instrument in my family. And at all, my daughter took piano lessons. So let me go. So backwards, obviously, like my parents, no one, not their parents. As far as I know, no cousins, no, nothing. So nope. It was just me all by myself when it came to that idea. My current you know, obviously my kids and my wife. My wife can play ukulele, whatever you, however you want to pronounce it. She could play that. She could play a guitar a little bit. She says she can't. But because she learned to play guitar because I taught her to fix guitars. My wife can do most anything a generalized guitar tech can do. In other words, everything from a setup to, obviously restrings and minor repairs, even some all kinds of minor repairs. My wife can handle that at expert level. And so to do that, she made sure she could play some stuff. She could play a little piano as well. So she's got a little bit of handling on that stuff. My daughter took piano lessons. I don't know what she remembers from it, but she did take piano lessons. And my son, I had him learn bass, and he played bass for a little while, playing some with some other kids and stuff. But none of them play currently, like I said. So there you go. I know that's always an interesting question because that's always, I think the question is asked because anytime you see somebody who is like literally immersed in it, like I am, you know, in music all day, whether they're a gigging musician or a guitar tech or something like that, you're always curious, like, how far does that, where did that infection come from and how far does that infection go? And like I said, I got it. I made no bones to, you know, with this. I started playing guitar literally because I was a teenager and I was bored. My friend got a guitar and I was like, oh, that's what you do when there's no, when there's no Gilligan's reruns, right? So I got a guitar literally for that reason. It was just something to do. So I was like, oh, I can do that. And so I started playing guitar. So there you go. All right. I don't know how to say the name, so I'm going to say Martirios? Martirios says, hey, Phil, which guitar is your most favorite guitar and that you own and or want to own? Well, actually, whatever favorite guitar I have will always be the one I own more than one I want. The one I always want will just because I'm excited about it, but not because it's favorite. Favorite guitars change all the time. And I like to say I can't pick a favorite guitar, but I can tell you favorite guitars at the moment. For sure, right now, I'd say my favorite guitars in the moment are my Delos, my Kiesel Delos in copper. I think the Arizona copper penny right there behind me. I'm pointing at it right now. The Kiesel Ares A2 and my Gibson SG are still my three go-tos. I keep the Gibson SG, not this black one in here, but the Sunburst one or whatever, the Burst one's in the bedroom. That's my go-to player, and I grab those two all the time. Of course, there's a nice grouping of guitars here, and I play them all the time. But those guitars, for some reason, I just grab them. Like, I'll instinctually grab those first every time. So, there you go. Okay, what else? I like how I say what else, even though they're all stacked over here. Okay. This is kind of cool segue. Jeremy says, hey, Phil, since you own both, he means Kiesels and Music Vans, is the Kiesel on par with Music Van? If I'm in the market for an S-Type, which model would you get? I will tell you this. I'm going to tell it to you this way. I'm a Music Man fan. You said it perfectly, by the way. You said, because I own both. Obviously, I like both. I have a high opinion of both companies. If I was going to bet money and tell you to pick one of those two guitars and bet that you're going to be super ecstatic with the quality that you grab, I'm going to bet Music Man every time. Consistency wise. Now, that's nothing bad about Kiesel at all for me. I actually prefer the Kiesel neck to the Music Man's. That becomes a preference. Like, Music Man is one of those companies where I absolutely, if you can't tell, I've had a bunch over the years. I have some currently now. I have a Majesty in front behind me. Love Music Man quality. Love the way they sound. I'm 100% on board with everything Music Man. I'm just not in love sometimes with the necks. A lot of the necks tend to be a little smaller, and they're a little smaller than what I like. If you like smaller necks, like to me, the Axis is an amazing guitar, but the neck's a little small for me. So the Kiesels tend to be a little bit bigger necks, and I'm all about the necks more than anything else. But quality-wise, I would say the Music Man's, in my opinion, going to be more likely your bet to be better, but it's also going to be more money. And I would definitely say that. And I've said this before when it comes to a lot of brands that are expensive compared to Kiesel. I think Kiesel, a lot of times, some people will say, oh, yeah, it's not as good as this higher-end brand. In my opinion, they are. you know, for what I've experienced and the ones I like. But I think a lot of people go to that because maybe they picked up a Kiesel that wasn't fit and finished as well. And that's probably, you know, that's obviously going to happen. But I believe that if you get the fit and finish done, in other words, you take it to a tech and you have them do the setup and, you know, take care of any issues that you may or may not have, they're always on par. But I just, like I said, I'm just being, most of that is comes from not only my own experience, but just the watching and reading the experience of others like you guys. So Grumpy Mike Guitar said, I just realized there's not a single maple fretboard in the shot. You know, what's funny is, well, technically, yes, because that's a roasted maple neck right there. That's a roasted maple fretboard. So there is one. And then there's one maple neck out of shot right now because it's a prototype guitar and it can't be seen. But I understand. But yeah, this is definitely not maple day. I don't own a ton of maple necks, maple fretboards anyway, so it's not going to be likely going to see a lot. And I've said this before, there is no reason for that other than aesthetics. I like the chocolatey rosewood fretboards the most for no reason. Just, I don't know, appeals to me. In fact, I actually said once that I kind of prefer guitars. If the body's dark, I like the fretboard to be light. If the body's light, I like the fretboard to be dark. That's what I generally prefer. Okay. All right, let's go back to the questions. Okay. Hold on. Sorry, guys, I'm just reading. I think that's what I got for the beginner ones, the early questions. So let me go to the story. I got to tell you a story that happened to me. I just want to share this so much. So last Saturday, actually, hold on. Let me tell you the story. So a lot of you guys obviously are invested. You know this channel. You know what I've done for many years, obviously on YouTube, off YouTube. So you guys know that I had a shop in a store, and you know that Ralph was a partner in that store, my buddy Ralph. And what you may or may not know is that for 12 years, Ralph and I worked every Saturday at the store, doing repairs, helping customers. Sometimes my wife would work. Sometimes, obviously, there's employees that work. But Ralph and I always worked every Saturday. I can count on my hands, both these hands, how many times I missed a Saturday in 12, almost 13 years. And that tells you a lot because, right, that's not even, that's nothing. It's like one a year. I've missed maybe one Saturday a year. Not kidding. So work every Saturday. In 2017, as you guys know, I decided that I was not going to do the guitar store anymore. I was going to still do repair, but not do the guitar store because I was like, YouTube's taking up so much time. Other things are taking up so much time. Do that. So then Ralph and my wife, they decided, well, we don't want to do the guitar store either. So that's where, you know, that's where that landed. However, here's the important part of the story. After a month or two, I didn't realize it. I don't think Ralph realized it either. Like a month or two, I don't remember how we started talking about this. I called him. I mean, I'm talking to him. And we realized, like, we didn't have anything to do on Saturdays. Because we've been working Saturdays, like, forever. So I said, well, why don't you come over? And so he came over on Saturday and we barbecued. And so think about this, that's 2017. So 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So basically for the last 6 years, almost, give or take, he's been coming over every single Saturday and we barbecue. That's what we do. Sometimes, very rarely, we'll go out to eat, but 90% of the time we barbecue. It's like a tradition, like working in the store. I don't even say anything to him. He just comes over, right? Okay, that's how instinctive it is. Why is this funny? Well, a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, he came over and I was super excited to share this place that I like, that my wife likes to eat at. And they make this Arizona, it's called Arizona Old Fashioned because it's made with an Arizona made whiskey. It's really good. And I wanted to take him. So he came over and he said something to me that I didn't really understand. You know how, like hindsight, now you look back going, I guess that meant something. He said, all I had today was a Pop-Tart. Not like in any way, not an important way, like in a passive way. Like, hey, all I've had today was a Pop-Tart. He came in, he puts his backpack down. And Ralph has his own cup in the cabinet. Okay. Like a special, it's a special cup because my wife made it for him and it's got, he's a big Dolphins fan. So it's got the Dolphins on it. So he gets it and he makes himself an old fashioned because he doesn't know we're going to this restaurant to have old fashions. Now, what I didn't know is I basically didn't make anything because we're not cooking and I didn't have any appetizers out. So we didn't have any food out because we're going to go to this restaurant. And so basically, no one was paying attention to Ralph because Ralph's not really a drinker. Okay. He drinks like on Saturday and it's occasional. So apparently I thought, my wife thought, and his girlfriend thought that he had an old fashioned one drink. Apparently he had two, maybe three, with a Pop-Tart in his stomach from 6 hours ago. So we go to the restaurant and the first thing I do is before anybody even sits down, I'm like, old fashions for us, right? I get him old fashions. So he's got an old fashioned. So anyways, he's hammered. Okay. I mean, he's hammered. Okay. And, I've never seen him. I mean, I've known Ralph now. So you guys know, like, obviously this is a birthday this week. I'm trying to think how long we've known each other. I mean, it's 30 plus years, right? So that tells you something, right? 30 years I've known him and never in my life seen him. Like, see, first, is he drunk? I've never seen that. I've never seen it. Now I'm seeing it and it's really hammered, right? And we were talking and I was talking about some Telecaster guitars. And he's like, yeah, I need to get a Telecaster. And I said, oh, I have a company that I know that makes really cool, you know, kind of Telecasters. And he goes, well, I want butterscotch. And I said, okay. And I said, oh, Sweetwater's got butterscotch tellies in stock right now. And before I know what happens, he's on his phone. He's like, I just ordered it. And I'm like, you just ordered what? And he's like, yeah, Fender Telecaster and butterscotch, right? And it's like, okay. So we're like, so everybody at the table's like, what just happened, right? And so here's why the story's funny. So that was like 2 months ago. He's come over the last couple of weeks. Every time I see him, I say, what do you think of Telecaster? And he goes, I don't know, I got it. And I go, you don't like it? And he goes, no, I like it fine. He goes, I don't play Telecasters. And I'm like, why did you buy a Telecaster? And he's like, because you said they were in stock at Sweet. He's like trying to make it sound like I did this, right? Like I convinced him that he needs to buy a Telecaster. So this is why the story's funny. So last Saturday, obviously we did the show last Friday. Last Saturday, we're at the same restaurant. Of course, I get Arizona Old Fashions again. And we're drinking. And I bring it up. I have to, right? Like, oh, last time we were here, this is where you got hammered. And he says,
we'll be right back. Ever wonder how your favorite entertainers and athletes made it from childhood to the spotlight? Join me, Nashville-based entertainment reporter Jennifer Vickery Smith, as I chat with moms of entertainers and entertaining moms on my hit podcast, Got It From My Mama. You'll hear delightful conversations with moms of everyone from the Jonas Brothers, Luke Bryan, Kelsey Ballerini, Steph Curry, Travis Kelsey, and so many more, sharing the journey from a perspective only a mama can share. New episodes weekly as we share the best conversations of family, faith, and fame on the Got It From My Mama podcast.
I got drunk once and found out how fast Sweetwater can ship.
So that's what he said, by the way. That's his recorded. I made him record it. So basically, I wanted to share that I did this. I made him a shirt that says, I got drunk once. And oh, you know what?
I got drunk once and found out how fast Sweetwater can ship.
So I had that shirt made for him. And since I had to make it for him, if you guys want one of those shirts, you can get one too. I'm going to, if you guys do buy one, like I said, don't just enjoy the joke. I have to do a campaign to make him the shirt for him. If you end up giving him one, I jokingly told him this cause it's true, that I'll give him half of whatever we make, obviously, cause it's funny, but he had me in stitches when he said that. I don't know why he just said it. So one more time.
I got drunk once and found out how fast Sweetwater can ship.
And then my wife said,
Are you really buying another guitar?
No, I'm just kidding. She didn't say that. Okay, I'm done with the joke. But I know that's not totally a hilarious joke, but I enjoyed it so much because he caught me off guard when he said that. And I go, wouldn't that be great? I said, wouldn't it be great if we get Sweetwater to sponsor that as a shirt? That should be a Sweetwater shirt for sure. I just think Sweetwater would not want that as a shirt. But anyways, I just wanted to share the story with you. It was so hilarious. He only had, for the record, I don't want him to get upset with me. He had one old fashioned last Saturday and no guitars had to be purchased. So there you go. And so the lesson learned is if you have 3 to 4 old fashions, don't get on your phone and start testing how fast Sweetwater can get a guitar out the door. So, the pick says you sound way better. Ah, well, obviously, thank you for saying that, man. That's because of these guys, the Mackie guys. I'm just showing that anytime I can. Remember, they hooked us up with this great rig and all of this stuff. And they're not paying. Obviously, they can't pay because on the podcast, you guys are the sponsors. So they were just kind enough to give us this gear so we can improve the sound and improve the show and have triggers and samples, which I promise not to lean in too hard and try not to get carried away with, like I said. And I got to give it to Ralph, too, because when we came back to the restaurant, I said, hey, could you say that again, but let me record it? And he did it as a good... And good spirits, which is good. And that's what we do with our Saturdays every Saturday. So there you go. That's my story that I took too much time away from, and now we should get back to actual work and guitar stuff. Let's get back to guitar stuff. So let's start with Vim69 just said happy birthday. Thank you so much, Vims. I appreciate that in the super chat. John says, hey, if guitar versatility is a thing, I'm not sure that it is. That's what he's saying. I'm saying, you know, right? I actually agree too, but he says the reverse must be true, meaning guitars just can't be used for some expressive intent. Okay, I think I'm following you. Can't imagine that it's true with pickups, pedals, and etc. So I think, and sometimes this is tough because I have to interpret the question with, you know, just what I have, and I sometimes get it wrong, but I'll do my best. I basically think what he's saying is if guitar versatility is a thing, in other words, different guitars to be, you know, for different be versatile with different guitars, different sounds, different, that basically the reverse must be true. Sure. And he basically says, I can't imagine that's true with pickups and pedals and stuff. I mean, it's tough because I'm not fully 100% understanding the question the way I think you probably intended it to come across, but anyways, let's just start. Sometimes like start with this. I think that there are guitars. Let's just start with the easy part. I think there are guitars, amps, pedals, and pickups that are by design to be versatile. And I think, I find this is why I like a good, you know, when you guys ask a good question like this, I like a good topic. I've found for some reason, I'm guilty too, by the way. I think we're a lot of us guilty, but I'm definitely guilty. I think we're so many of us are guilty of basically not loving versatile gear, right? As soon as something does a bunch of things really well, it seems like the magic unicorn effect goes away from it. Perfect example, it's like when a guitar amp has 5 channels or 4 channels, right? And 6 channels, they're like, none of them sound good, right? But in reality, probably all of them sound really good. Or, you know, like multi-effects pedals versus single boxes. There's, you know, to argue that maybe the chorus effect in a multi-effects unit is not as great as this one single chorus pedal, right? Pickups that have multi-switching ability, like the coil split, the single coil is not as good as a single coil. It's always, this seems to be the argument, and I don't know if this is where he intended this to go, but I like the subject, so we'll go with it. I think there's a lot of, as soon as something does a couple things well, it's just not cool, right? It's not cool to own. And it's really weird to me. Because I can understand where, and the term is actually used. Swiss Army knife is a perfect example. Although I have a Swiss Army knife in my pocket every day of my life, and I find it does well for me. I don't have any complaints about it. But I hear it all the time, like, oh yeah, it does a lot of things, but it doesn't do any one of them really, really well. And I'm like, I can understand that argument, but I always argue how little the one thing does it slightly better. So Susan says, cool is overrated. It can be. But I find that I can't say older because that's not what's really happening here. I find as I get longer in my journey of making music and playing guitar and whether it's making content here on YouTube or just playing with friends or whatever I'm doing, I find that versatility is what I'm drawn to more and more and more, right? It's like I want to collect a couple of the unique things because there's just this cool vibe to that, to owning it. But deep down, it's the first thing out the door. In fact, here's what's funny. The first thing out the door is all of the cool gear, quote unquote, cool gear that I own, right? Some of the coolest amps, pedals, and guitars that I have, as soon as if I had to get rid of gear, they're going to be the first ones to go because I don't want something that only does one thing well. I want something that does many things well, whether it's a pickup, a guitar, a pedal, or an amp. And that's a really funny thing because I have amps that I love and I love the way they sound, but I never really play them as much. And for me, reverb is a big deal. So like I have amps that don't have reverb. I love them. Like my Freedmans, I'll plug into them. I love them. But I'm constantly, when I'm quick playing or just plugging for something useful, I go right to like the Bad Cat or something that has reverb, the Amplify Nation, something that has, you know, two good sounds and a reverb. I'm really curious to see what you guys say or comment to that stuff, because I find that you see it in comments across videos all the time, that as soon as something does a bunch of stuff, they're like, this is lame, and all of it sounded bad, and none of it sounds as good. But I find the multi-use tools products are just awesome. Okay, hold on. Before I go to the next subject, just going to see if you guys, anyone got any... Sorry, I'm just reading some stuff. You know what's funny is... Oh, okay, so Grumpy Mike Guitar, I just saw his question. He's saying multi-effects pedals have one major drawback. Menus. I hate menus. Give me knobs and or give me death. Sure. I'm 100% on board. As you know, we're obviously on the same page there. That's why I use the Kemper over basically Axe FX. For no other reason. For some reason, it made sense to me how to navigate it. And by the way, I just want to make sure, because you always seem to upset one of the camps on this. I'm not saying that Kemper is easier than Axe FX. It probably is. I'm saying it was, for some reason, it was intuitive to me to understand how to navigate through it. And so I'm the same way. I really rather have knobs and stuff just because I'm lazy and I don't want to sit there and learn a new product every time. I want to be able to take all the knowledge I want to take everything I've done for the last, 20, 30 years playing guitar and just apply that to whatever new product there is. That's ideally what I want. You know, I don't want every single product to be a learning curve. That's not where I find my joy. I'm going to say, is it Bob Matic? He's saying, hey, I was looking to buy some tools from Stu Mac. He's in the UK, he wanted to see if we're going to bring back the half price Stu Mac's free shipping. Yes, we're doing that. We will. We're working with it right now. Hopefully we'll get that out for August. So that will be an August promotion. Okay. Okay, here's one. Kyle says, hey, Phil, was wondering if you thought there was a quality difference in sound between the Freedman, Runt, the JJ, and the Little Sister, or the Pink Taco. I've owned all those amps. Here's what I can tell you. The Runt and the JJ Jr. are the exact same amp, except for the JJ Jr. has more gain on the gain side. That's it. And so, in my opinion... If you don't need more gain on the Runt, then there's no reason to get the JJ. If you get the JJ, there's no reason to get the runt, period, because it'll do what the runt does and then get more gain. It's not really different. It's just more gain. And they have the exact same clean channel. That's just my opinion. They might be slightly different sounding gains, but to me, they were just, the perception was more gain. It's not that I got a different type of gain. The Little Sister and the Pink Taco, to me, I've had those both, as you know, and I love them both. My problem was I got the Pink Taco first because I love the gain on it. I love the way it sounds. But here's what happened. I found that it was back to what I was saying earlier. What a weird tie-in back to the versatility thing. I personally feel like the Pink Taco was slightly better sounding, if that's a thing, than the JJ in high gain or mid gain, you know, high mid gain. But it has no clean channel. And I didn't think it cleaned up very well. I watched tons of videos where all these guys are like, it cleans up. And yeah, it cleans up. Barely, you know what I mean? And if you have the right pickups in the right situation at the time, otherwise you're constantly fighting it. And so it was almost like not having a clean channel, just being gain. And so I tried the Little Sister and it didn't have as much gain as the Pink Taco, but it did clean up. So, and it has a more little thubby kind of bass response, a little heavier, you know, sounding, not as gainy, but heavier, like bigger sounding. So owning all four, I don't have any of them now, because what I have now is a small box, and I have the, what is it called? The Twin Sister. I have the Twin Sister. I mean, the Twin Sister is really, really nice. I can't say that it's much better than the Little Sister, tone-wise. It sounds a little bigger again, just a little better on the gain side, but it has a really nice clean, because I can switch between the channels and create a clean channel with it. Again, versatility being the thing I was after. It is, if you don't have a real need for the Big Sister, whatever you want to call it, right? The Twin Sister, it is a kind of a wasteful expenditure over what I think the Little Sister gives you. Again, doing this whole journey with, Freedom Amps, I should have just kept the JJ Jr. It was good enough. It did everything I wanted it to, and I wasn't missing out. I just thought I was missing out, so I went up the line, and everything got a little better, but everything got a lot more expensive when it got better. And out of those four amps, I can tell you right now, I still think the JJ Jr. is the best one of the four. And in fact, in order, just to make things easy for you, I'll just tell you real quick. I like the JJ Jr. the absolute best of those four. Then I would say the Little Sister, then the Runt, then the Pink Taco. And I think the Pink Taco probably is one of the best sounding of the four. You know, for the gain, having it gain, it really gives the BE sound, but it just is such a one channel, one trick thing. And you can get the one with the mod, the little switch, but even then it was just too much. I just found myself like just never being able to get all the sounds I need out of it. I hope that helps. Okay. Okay. All right. We have Wayne. Wayne says, hey, so I just got a great deal on a Heritage H150. Love it. I did not tell the wife. Okay. All right. This is a forgiveness versus permission angle. Okay. What should I do? This is becoming a different kind of podcast. Now, okay. So a marital advice now, huh? Okay. By the way, I play in a family room since my music room is upstairs and is too hot in the summer. Oh, I understand that. In my house, what we do is I have to migrate, right? My office is upstairs, and the sun is hitting it in the afternoon. So right now, when I'm talking to you guys, this is the hottest time to be in this room. And it's fine. I have these. If you do have a room like this where the sun hits the glass and warms the room, I have blackout curtains. That's what I have going on right now. So I tend to not be in this room unless I'm filming in the afternoons in the summer, because I need all these lights on. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it's blacked out in here. The blackout curtains, I have the kind of blackout curtains that hold the heat back too. They work great, by the way. Absolutely love them. And I'll migrate downstairs, or like I said, into another room. But to talk about your situation, your wife, I don't feel comfortable giving marriage advice, because my advice might be the worst thing for you. So I'll tell you, and I don't have a real perspective. In other words, my wife doesn't give a crap what I do when it comes to guitar stuff. Like, I won't tell you exactly what her pet peeve is, because she's going to do a QA for the patrons and the members soon. And that was one of the questions I asked her. So I'll let her answer it, and then I'll share that with you in another episode. But to tell you, I'm just happy you got the guitar. I will tell you, okay, man, I really feel I don't want to give marriage advice, right? Because it's just not the right channel. But I will tell you one thing I've learned about wives. The only thing worse than lying to them is waiting to tell them the only thing worse than lying to them is how long it takes before they figure out or you tell them that you lied to them. Like, that compounds the problem, makes it worse. And I feel horrible given that, because like I said, I feel better as a guitar channel, but I'm happy about the guitar. And you should tell her, I got one too. And I love it. And then let her yell at me. She can scream at the screen all she wants. So I'll just tell her right now, just actually cue her up to this time frame. I'm like, Wayne's wife, I wish you understood how amazing a Heritage guitar is. I mean, it's like a Gibson, but with like a little bit more heart and soul put into it. But also, guitars are a good investment. And so, you know, he's just helping the family out with this. He's just helping. This is a guitar. This is not a guitar. This is parking some money for the future, and it'll all work out there. And then I'll, you know, let her start yelling. All right. The Frito Bandito says, the repairability longevity of katanas, modeling amps, will they all be in landfills in 30 years instead of in the used market where vintage amps are now? The answer is yes, but not because of what you think. Look, you can see now, the massive amounts of cheap amps from, you know, all the years are just loaded in these music stores. They're just useless. Look at all those old crates and Randalls and Gorilla amps and CMCs and PVs and, oh, it goes on, Line 6s, all that stuff, whether it's modeling or not, whether it was just a solid-state amp, right? Whether it was even some of those inexpensive tube amps. Will they ever, you know, see a day where those come back? No, I don't think so. I don't think they'll ever have a collectability factor to them. And the sad thing is that the amps that use technology, I don't mean modeling, just technology, anything that makes the sound using besides just actual tubes, and even then sometimes that too, they just don't hold up. So they won't necessarily go right to the landfill, all those katanas, but yeah, it's not going to be like, people aren't going to be in 20 years going, oh, is that a Katana V1 series? Like, no, wow, I have the V7. That's the V1, right? Like, you're not going to see a lot of that. Will people... Now, here's where, on the flip side of that, let's give the flip side of that. I could be wrong, because let's look at what could be perceived differently, okay? A lot of the tech, the gear that we see, amp gear from back in the 70s, 80s, and even part of the 90s and 2000s, which was, again, like I said, the crates, the Randalls. We're talking about the inexpensive versions of Randalls and stuff. Crates, Randalls. I'm just trying to think of all those brands that you always saw in the stores. Obviously, the Line 6 for a while. Custom with a K, you know, tons of stuff. All that really mass-produced Behringer type entry-level, mid-level product. They don't sound very good when you listen to them now. So that's the fact that they're dirt cheap tells you a lot, because you can walk in a music store, right? Think about how great a Katana is for $199, $200, super cheap, right? Think about how funny this is. Those small amps have learned, they've become the equivalent of TV sets. Like everybody here, because, you know, obviously the majority of guitar players are on the older side. There's youth, you know, this podcast has, we have a younger audience, older audience, but so the older audience will understand this too. Have you tried to give away a nice old TV? Like, I'm not talking about like a console TV from the 70s or the 50s. I'm talking about like, try to give away like a tube flat screen TV, right? I mean, I get it, it's a tube TV, but try to give it away. I had a 32-inch tube flat screen TV. This is not now. This was easily 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. And it was in our bedroom. And then we got a new flat screen, and I tried to give it away to like a niece or a nephew or a kid, somebody who's broke. Like, you're broke, you're in an apartment, here's a 32-inch TV for free. And they're like, nah, I was like, what? No one would take it. And then I took it to the Goodwill. They wouldn't take it. And I was like, what do you do with it? And they're like, oh, you got to pay to have it hauled off. And I was like, what? Finally, we did find somebody to take it, but they took it for parts or something. Not to make other TVs or fix TVs. I think they destroyed it to do something else with it. But what's funny about this was it wasn't until basically recently when I went into a Costco and then a Walmart looking for a flat screen TV, basically for my daughter. They're like a dollar. I'm being sarcastic. It was like, you know, $150, whatever, for a flat screen TV. So you could get a flat screen for $150. So what we're seeing now is the same equivalent with Katana. You can get a Katana that sounds pretty good for $199. So why buy the old crate, the old Line 6 for $30, $50? That's what's crazy, right? And maybe what will be different in the future is maybe the Katanas won't, they won't be trash, because maybe in 20 years you'll plug into them and you go, you know, it still sounds pretty good, and you can put pedals in front of it, and you know, and you can pick one up for $100, you know, when every other amp is $4,000. Because so I don't know, so I just don't know. But my gut says, yeah, that stuff all is not going to hold. It's like a lot of technology. It's just not what it's going to do. PW says, hey, rest in peace, Randley. It says, I think he typed wrong. He said Randy Mettner, but it's Randy Mesner. Randy, we lost Randy, and I might even be saying his name wrong. Randy is the bass player for the Eagles. He's a founding member of the Eagles. So he just passed away this week. I feel like all the musicians we love, it's like almost every show, 52 shows a year, I could do a send-off statement for one of them, because we seem to lose somebody important every week. We lost Sinead O'Connor this week. Seems like every week. The good news is I hate talking like this again, because it gets us off the subject of guitar, but I'll just tell you the positives, if there is such a thing. Randy passed away at 77, and that's still young. We've talked about that too. I still think 77 is too young, but I always kind of feel like, you know, when you see people like Sinead O'Connor, I think she was like, what? How old was she? 45, something like that? She's 40s or 50s. Barely 50s. I think she was in late 40s. You know, it's just, I don't think any death is less valuable than any other in their age. But it's just, it just seems to hit you harder when they're younger. Oh, okay. Susan says she's 56. So, again, but yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get on to the guitar stuff again. Like I said, I think maybe let's see what we should do from now on. Instead of addressing that, you know what? I think we're going to do not an official thing, but what we'll do is, because like I said, I feel like we don't do them justice if we don't do a shout out when somebody, we lose a musician that we all love and they pass away. But I also feel like it's the vibe of the show kind of, it changes it. And so maybe what I'll do is the last episode every month, we'll have a moment of silence at the end of the show, just to say, you know, and maybe we'll mention it if we lost anyone that month. Maybe something like that. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. And now my screen's all messed up. Oh, okay, here it is. Litvey wants us to, he wants to ask us, he says me, but it's all of us. Should he buy another guitar? Don't answer that. No, he says, I know the answer. But how about 3, 5, or 8? At what point does the answer become different? It never becomes different. I don't know how many guitars, I've said this before, how many guitars is too many? How many guitars is enough? What I will always say is the same answer. For some people, it's 3, some people it's 30, some people it's 300. It really doesn't matter. It really just matters as long as you are enjoying them. You know, it's the old saying, right? As long as you're owning them and they're not owning you. I have a number I like to stick to. The channel makes that almost impossible. I can tell you this, before I had a YouTube channel, I had a store. Think about that. I had a store. So at some point you can say I had hundreds of guitars. But I mean, seriously, in a personal collection, I would keep them around 20 guitars. I was probably 20 guitars forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now, because the YouTube channel, let's just say double that. It's about double that. because of the fact that, like I said, I have some of their gifts now and some that companies sent me, like, they're really cool. Like, the G&L behind me, G&L made that for me, custom made that for me. Like, what do I do with that? It's a great guitar. I love playing it, you know? But it's more than just like this Nags that I bought. I bought this Nags. I love this Nags, but that's a little different. Even though they're both great guitars, that one is like, wow, that company made that for me. So I have that. So I've had let it plume up a lot, but I told you, I hold the line. I if a guitar comes in, something's got to go. It's getting harder and harder and harder. So there you go. But the answer to your question is, at what point does the answer become different? I guess my answer is the answer never becomes different. You just have to decide how many is right for you. Me, personally, I like 20 guitars. I know that's a lot. That's a lot of guitars. 20 is like a lot of guitars. But with YouTube, it's impossible. Because like I said, and the fact that I've held it at where I've held it at is really, really great. I've hung out with some of the YouTube channels where they have hundreds. I don't mean just one, like two, three, four, five channels with hundreds of guitars. Because they're like, I don't know. Right? You review them. Sometimes you keep them, right? Vim69 says, when is the Red Dan Electro deep dive coming? I don't think I have any plans to do that guitar. It's not on any of the paperwork or anything, not paperwork, but our little sheets of calendars and stuff. Because I've done the 59 Dan Electro, I've done two of them. I didn't really see a need to do a third one, just with because it has a third pickup. But I don't know. So, I don't know. I don't have to think about that. Okay, the next question says, happy birthday, Phil. Question, clean tone. Want a Gibson should be going for low output humbuckers, standard classic, or just get Gibson pickups? I like Gibson pickups. I like the 57 Classics. I like the Burst Bucker. I've said this before. I like most of the Gibson pickups in some way. But I tend to lean towards the 57 Classics and the Burst Buckers, if that helps. Thank you, David, for the super chat. He says, hey, how is this for a ninja move? After passing on a Wood Library PRS Studio, I felt positively frugal this morning when I bought a used Reverend Gristle 90. Oh, cool. That's a great guitar. Thoughts on the Fluence pickups in general and the P90s. I have not tried the Fluence P90s. I've done this before. I've done a couple of the Fluence pickups, and I have to tell you that I like their classic pickup humbuckers by far more than their moderns. And it's not that I didn't like the moderns. I just really like their classics better. So I would imagine the P90s are kind of vibe like that too. They're going to sound more like a real pickup. To me, the Fluence classics sound like real pickups, or, you know, non-active pickups, but just really clear, where the moderns kind of had a very active kind of thing going on, high fidelity kind of thing. And I imagine the P90s are going to be that great too. By the way, that's a logic I've used sometimes too. Like, I almost bought a really expensive guitar or an amp, and then I don't, and then I buy a less expensive one, like going, hey, I bought it with the money I saved, not buying the other thing. So, okay. Hold on. Grumpy White Guitar says, happy belated birthday. Hope it was a joyous one. It was good. It was a really good weird. It was good. I was going to say, I'm not trying to say weird. It was a good workout. It's been hot, so we haven't been going for walks. So we've been going to the gym. That's been brutal. Not in the way you guys think, because we just go to the gym because it's too hot to walk here. So we go walk on the treadmill. My wife said it best. It's almost like you're being tortured walking on a treadmill for an hour. The boredom is just beyond crazy. So yes, it was a great birthday. This week has been a great week, but going on the treadmill every day for an hour, and I can't watch the TVs. I'm not into the news and stuff and the crap they play. So I just listen to music, but it's just so long, too long. But at least it's not 115 in the gym. Bulletproof Panda says, happy birthday. Epiphone SG Standard. I want to switch out the pickups. Any recs? Thinking of bare knuckle pickups or Seymour Duncans. Also, how to remove the finish on the SG. I mean, you can remove that finish. It's polyurethane, most likely. And I don't think it's a cellophane finish, but it's probably a polyurethane, and it's really going to be a pain in the ass, and you're going to be sanding forever and ever and ever. There might be strippers and stuff that can take that off. I'm not familiar with that, so you know, of what takes that off, because I never have to do that. I don't do any refinish work. What I can tell you, doing repairs, usually I don't have to use strippers and stuff to take finishes off. I usually just have to take a little off and then fix something. And sanding that stuff is a nightmare because it's super thick and super hard, and it makes tons and tons and tons of dust. And that stuff, make sure you wear a mask because this stuff is really nasty. So that's the answer on the finish. On the pickups, oh man, bare knuckle mules would sound amazing in that guitar. So I like Seymour Duncan pickups as well. I could suggest some too, but to me, Epiphone P90 with some bare knuckle mules would just be, that's just a freaking great guitar. That's like, that's what I would play. Like I would, if you handed me that guitar, I'd be like, yes, this is a great guitar. JP says, hey, do you think the new Tom DeLonge reissue will drive down the used price of the older ones? Curious, like the idea, but $1,300 for a Made in America, or Made in Mexico Strat, yikes. I don't know if it'll slow it or bring it down. It slows it down. It happens all the time. Whenever they reissue something, it definitely tends to, at first, slow down how many people are interested in the old ones, the used ones. And yeah, so that does kind of help the pricing. But also, over time, it seems to never really matter. Like, the prices all seem to find a way up. So, but yeah, $1,300 Made in Mexico Strat. I mean, that's the world we live in, guys. It's here. So you'll notice this is going to be a trend. We've been talking about the soft market and the trends you'll see. One of the trends that you'll see soon, my guess is, as the market, you know, slows and it's harder to pry the money out of our hands for the guitars. Because right now what we're seeing is a lot of the used prices are coming down a little bit. And the offers are coming out. So some of us are still buying guitars because we're like, oh, that was a guitar I was looking at for the last couple of years. It was a lot, and now it's a better price, and you're just jumping on it. But eventually, you'll grab up what you feel you wanted. But what you'll see next is a technique that the manufacturers use a lot when the market slows is they're going to come out with cool stuff. You know, they're going to get us excited, like a Tom DeLonge Strat, you know, for all those like, wow, I've always wanted one, or I want one for years, but they've gotten up a price. So you're going to see that stuff. They'll bring out the stuff that you've been wanting as a reissue. And that will, like I said, help the prices come down on the reissue, on the originals, but I don't know how much. Uncle Left Eye, thank you, man. It's a huge super chat. It says date night with Mrs. KYG. No, her choice. It's always her choice. Not in a bad way. I have a technique that's really effective. It's called only bad choices. I will share it with you now. It's very easy. It's simple. If you ask me anything, I'm only going to give you the most horrible choices. So like if you ask me like, hey, what's a good restaurant to go this weekend? Like my, you know, if my wife asks me, I'll go Taco Bell. I'll just keep throwing out bad choices. They don't even try anymore. They're just like, okay, I don't care. So essentially it's not that she chooses everything for any reason other than I'm just a pain in the ass, and so she's just learned like you know. Or a really good technique I use if I do care is, and my wife totally knows this one, which is I will throw out three choices and all three are exactly what I want, so it doesn't matter which one you pick. So there you go. So those are the things. So it'll be her choice, so I appreciate that. NYC Geology says, best way to get pop punk tones in an apartment. Kick the windows out on the balcony. No, I'm just kidding. Marshall Friedman or Princeton and pedals. Look, for an apartment, you got to keep that stuff quiet, man. All of those things are probably too loud. You might want to, if I was in an apartment, I would invest heavily into some really good headphone rig or a rig that will not produce any low-end frequency. Because that's what your neighbors are going to focus on, okay? It's not how loud you are. Your TV is going to be loud enough. I mean, I don't live in an apartment, and it's been a long time since I've lived in an apartment, okay? So, and some of you guys that live in apartments are going to have some good comments in the comment section, so please help NYC out. NYC, if I had to go live in an apartment right now and I was going to use an amp, I would absolutely use a Spark or a Yamaha THR30 or THR10. I would use one of those. I wouldn't even use a Katana or the Catalyst. I would use something like that, something that goes up on my desk at eye level, so just ear level, something that the bass is just perceived to be low end right next to me, but 5 feet away, you couldn't tell. And that's because, as you know, normally I don't like the headphones, so I don't use the headphones. But, or I would try to get used to headphones, me personally, get used to headphones for sound. But I would stay away from those rigs entirely. You can run pedals through those amps, man. I've used the Yamaha and the Spark. I prefer the Yamaha now over the Spark, but it's by like a nose, right? I there's things I like about each one, and to argue, you know, it's like the Catalyst and the Katana. They're both great. I just ended up with a Catalyst. Same thing with the Yamaha too. That's my suggestion. None of those, because it's nothing worse than buying stuff you can't use. And if you do end up going that route, because you just are headstrong and you want that and it's your money and you should be, you know, buy whatever you want. I would definitely get that stuff off the ground and maybe even think about putting some a foam block or something underneath the amp. Again, try to stop those low frequencies from not even the decibels. That's important. But the low frequencies are where your neighbors will freak out. There. And then I'm sure all the apartment people will have a better answer. So listen to them too as well. Scent of a Wheelchair Pillow says, we are a year apart. Oh, cool. Who were some of the cheesiest hair bands you loved in the 80s? Vinnie Vincent's Invasion and Crocus were two of mine. Okay, so you're asking for the cheesiest hair metal bands? Cheesiest hair metal bands for me would have to be, so like for me, there was the mainstay hair metal bands, right? So there was the we're talking about 80s hair metal, right? So we're talking like Motley Crue's, and then there was Warrant. For me, it was like Warrant. To me, towards the end, right, cause I got into it and then I got right out of it. So I was in it for a pocket. I loved it. And I still listen to it to this day. To me, it was like Trickster, Enough's Enough, Faster Pussycat. I got so into it. I did what a lot of people do that get into things. You get into something and then you want more of it, right? You're like, I just need that hit, right? So you're like, okay, I'm listening to, you hear Motley Crue and then you're hearing like Warrant. And then you're like, I need more. And there's Poison. You're like, okay, there's Poison. And you're like, I need more. And then you're like, I need Trickster, right? Because now you're just like, who else? Oh, Firehouse. Like all of a sudden, anybody who just did 80s metal, I bought their album and just started like soaking it up. So, and I try to go back and listen to that stuff now, and a lot of that stuff I can't do anymore. I was just listening to a band I liked was XYZ, and I was listening to their album the other day, and it's still great. I mean, it's great stuff. I got halfway through it. I was like, it's good, but I've had enough. I've had enough today. So Antique Rocker says, I'm a year older than my wife, but look enough younger that my wife has been asked if I'm her oldest child. She doesn't think it's funny. No, I wouldn't think she would find that funny at all. I don't get that. No, I'm not saying I get it. I understand it. I'm saying I don't get that. I've been married to my wife for 25 years. For 25 years, I get the... I'm trying to think how to put it. I get the, she's with you. That's what I get. Like, no, a lot of people don't get it. Like, I always tell them, I go, look, I did the best trick you could ever do with a woman. I convinced her to marry me. I convinced her she loved me and to marry me when she was young. I tell everybody, that's your shot, man. You got to get them women are smarter than men. But they become more mature and more experienced, and you got to get them before that happens, because otherwise they go, why would I be with this doofus? And then so you can't have that happen. So what happened in my world is that's what I get. I get a lot of that. So and or I just tell people, I'm rich. I don't know. They're just always trying to figure out why she's with me. I got some jokes, but not a lot. Mike says, hey, looking for a 12-string electric guitar. Any suggestions? What is your opinion on a Dan Electric? The Dan Electric. I love the Dan Electric, Dan Electro guitars. I'm actually have one saved. So you actually know I'm not kidding. Look, I can show you my reverbs so you can see. So that way someone could buy it before I get to it. This is the one I've been, I don't have, did it sell? It did. Nah, I'll just show it to you anyways now. Now I don't have to worry about you guys snagging it from me. So, what? Hold on a second. So I can't look at that auction anymore? Is this the same one? Hold on. Huh. So it keeps it, but it won't let me. So anyways, here, I'm going to show you. So this is the one I was looking at. You can see it was $400 and it's sold. See, I was watching it, but it looks like it is sold because it's in the ended listings, not the live listings. So that's the one I was thinking about buying. I'm going to buy one at some point and then do a video, a deep dive, because I did the Rickenbacker guitar and I want to do a Dan Electro. I don't want to do a side-by-side comparison per se, but I will use the Dan Electro I will use the Rickenbacker in the Dan Electro video for at least a sound reference, to give you an idea how close they get for obviously for $400 versus $2,500. So you guys know what I'm up to. Exactly what I said. I really like the Rickenbacker, but it was $2,500, spent and I really like it, but I really want to hear a Dan Electro and play it next to it, especially for $400. Because for $400, if that Dan Electro gets me the same, like it's the job done, so to speak, I would rather have my $2,100 back in my pocket than a guitar that I don't use very often. That's just my thought. So that's my answer to your question. I really look at, you're looking for a 12-string guitar. That's a suggestion I would look at for, that's my personal opinion on that. For electric guitar, other good brands, by the way, Schecter makes a great 12-string electric guitar too. That's really worth checking out. Thank you, Jay Marble, for the super chat for the happy birthday. Scent of a Wheelchair Pillow says, how does someone apply to become a moderator for you? You know, no one really ever applied. The moderators were all these people that were just helping out, and I would see them each week in the chat. And I just clicked a button that said moderator. And over the years, I'd click a few. And then, to be honest, to kind of focus you on what happened, my wife, I would ask her because she would see the show and the thing. And I go, what moderators are helping the most? And she'd say, these ones. And I go, okay. And so that's what it really came down to, was who was helping the most. I might add some more, we thought about rotating people and stuff. That's something we thought about too. I'm open to suggestions. If you have any suggestions, if you want to be a moderator and stuff, these moderators that are here are pretty diehard. They're here every week and they do a kick-ass job and I really appreciate it. And that's why we like this. You know, I have my wife try to send them something like a gift at the Christmas time or something and do something for them. It's not a lot. Trust me, they deserve way more than what we do. But, and so that's why I don't want 20 of them, because it's 20 things that my wife have to ship out. So Brian says we blackmail him. Yeah. If you could get some some bad photos of me, you could probably be a moderator. Richard says, what do you think about the Jim Jr.? I get that. I've been asked that question a lot over the years. And I would say I've picked one up in my hands for a minute and played it, but I just don't have a lot of experience with it. It's one of those things I'd love to, since I have a gem, you know, a floral gem, I'd like to do it. I just, you know, again, I don't have the opportunity. Somebody was asking me about a guitar, sending a guitar, like a Squire earlier on the show. I was in the chat, just chatting with people on the show. And, what was I going to say? somebody was asking me about the new Squires, and basically, once I'm caught up, because remember, I lost a week because we were, you know, for the Sweetwater event, and then I lost a week for losing my voice. And really, to be honest with you, is I lost 2 weeks from my voice. That's really what happened. And so that put me 2 weeks behind. So currently, I am still 2 weeks behind, and I've been playing catch up with what I, you know, videos I have to do. Once I catch up, I'm going to start soliciting people to see if they want to get some help, you know, like I've done in the past when I did Squires and other guitars on the channel. It seems to work really, really well when I reach out and say, hey, look, I'm looking for this guitar to review. You want to send it, I'll do the review, and then I'll send it back to you, and, you know, and I'll hook you up a little bit for getting it on the channel for us. So. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, and then Brian S. says, warning. There's a lot of warning to everyone. There are a lot of scam accounts currently on Reverb. Be careful. I almost lost $4,000 because PayPal is so hard to deal with. So let me pull that up. Brian had sent that to me this week. I have it pinned, Brian, right here. There is like, I'm exaggerating. There is 9,000 ways to get a hold of me, which is very, it's been a really hard thing to do. So I'm just letting you know, I see a lot of stuff when people send me messages stuff, but it's so tricky. Okay, so let me make sure I can share what I'm looking at here. I don't want... Let me, just to make sure everything's cool, let me do this real quick, if you guys don't mind. It's quiet. I feel like, there.
Are you really buying another guitar?
I am going to buy another guitar. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so let's share this. Let's go here. All right, so this is what Brian was sharing. He was buying an R9 on Reverb, and what happened was it turned out to be a fraudulent account. The sale was a scam. He said, thankfully, Reverb caught it pretty fast. This is an important thing. Thanks, Brian, for bringing this up. There's a couple things. So just to be clear, hold on a second. I'm on the wrong screen. Okay, just to be clear, there are a ton of scams on Reverb, and we've talked about them in the past. But there's more. So you guys know, you guys probably didn't see this, obviously, but the Badlands customers did see this. We had fake Badlands already on Reverb. When I say fakes, they weren't copies. They weren't somebody made a fake Badlands and was selling it. People created fake Badlands. Accounts like fake guitars. Let me pull this up. Let me go here. Let's see. I should be able to. Oh, how funny! It was removed because it was in my history, and a lot of times they'll keep it in the history. I wonder if I have. Hold on a second. Sometimes, if I'm lucky, nope, wrong one. I might have screen grabbed some of this stuff. So again, if I can, I'd like to show you for illustration, but if not, unfortunately, I didn't keep it. I probably have it on a phone, but not on my computer. I'm just double checking, because if I could show you, it'd be great, because it looked real. And this is going to go into a little segue right here, but I want to talk about two things. Okay, so let's just start right here, and to start with it, it's important. So on the Reverb, we know there are scams on Reverb. The scams are not getting any better. They still come in high volume. If you want to see the scams, all you have to do and is do this, go to Reverb and go to just listed guitars. Okay. Go here, see more. And you can do this a couple times a day. Okay. If this is something you care about. Okay. And you're going to see it like crazy. In fact, whether we see one right now is a 50-50. What you're looking for is look for high-end guitars or very collectible guitars that are basically too cheap to just like, they're just too, you know, too good to be true. Right. And it's constant on Reverb. You go here and I don't see any right now, but they're constantly there and they'll come in your feeds. And it'll be like exactly that, R9 Les Paul for just a couple thousand dollars less, right? the Badlands guitar, so you guys know, was listed for $1,600. Okay. And before we could stop it, one got purchased. Okay. And we were able to remove the rest. The Badlands guys were able to remove the rest because we were able to contact Reverb and let them know that wasn't a real guitar. That guitar, you know, was so there's a way to let me show you. Hold on, because this is important. Go here. All right, give me a second. Okay, I gotta do it a different way. I'm sorry. Sometimes when you guys ask these questions, I was not prepared to have my screens up. Okay. Let's go here. Okay, let me find something. I'm going to find this right here. I'm just talking so you guys know I'm still working on stuff. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So basically, I'm sorry, guys. There's just too many screens and stuff. So I was double checking to make sure you guys can do this. What you're going to see is happening is people are taking screen grabs from other auctions that have sold. So basically what happens is let's say that somebody lists a guitar. Let's just say, let's use the Badlands. We'll use an example. Let's say somebody lists a Badlands Redline and that sells within an hour for $2,800. Okay, some crazy number like that, or $2,500. It sells for $2,500. What they'll do, what the scammers do immediately is they duplicate that auction. And because it sold well and it sold fast, they'll put it for a much lesser price, like $1,500. And then it'll look real because those are real pictures. They took the real pictures. You can use Google and you can source those pictures to see where they came from. And you'll see it came from an auction. You'll see that those weren't the original pictures in that auction. But Brian says, yes, this guy had photos of a real R9 with the case and all the candy. So this is the important part. These are not fake guitars like Chibson's, where they're not real guitars. These are fake accounts selling you the guitars. Okay. So they're the real, or at least those guitars that the pictures are, they exist. They're just, this person doesn't have them. And they're putting them that basically so cheap. And this is not new. It's been going on for a while, okay? And the working theory is, you know, I've reached out to Reverb a couple times on this, and they have, it took them a while, but they eventually did respond because obviously the show gets enough views to where I was getting enough attention to where I was like, hey, you know, what can I tell my viewers? You know, what are you doing? And they basically just said that they are aware of it and that they'll get back to me, and no one ever gets back to me. Yeah, Binkley says they don't usually doesn't have a seller rating. This is how you can usually tell is the guitar is priced too good to be true. The seller has no rating, and they're usually shipping from another country, which is important. And there's a couple different versions of the scam. One involves the fact that you purchase it, and they actually do ship you something, but it's like, you know, an empty box or a blender or whatever. And then when you get it, they've already closed the account and took the money. Now, I've talked to some of the people at Reverb explained to me that Reverb protects you on this so that if it happens, then in most cases, not all, you would be protected if this happened because they have those seller protections and buyer protections in place. My theory on this is it's been going on for a while, so why aren't they fixing it? We don't know. But my theory is, and again, it's very clear that I have to say this now because for legal reasons, this is my opinion based on no information, okay? It's just an intuitive feeling of someone who's been in this industry a long time. They're probably not going to, they're probably looking at it this way. They're taking care of customers when they get screwed over. And why don't they put out like a mass blast warning people? Why don't they have warnings all over their website? My guess is because it might be that it's cheaper to basically take care of the people who get screwed than to advertise the problem, and that will, which could cause, oh, I'm stuttering a little bit, which could cause people not buying in the first place, right? The more you get scared of an environment, right? It's like going to a restaurant in the bad side of town, and all of a sudden there's some crime, right? The restaurant could put out, hey, please make sure that you're walking in lighted areas to the restaurant. But the restaurant might think like, well, if we say that, then people won't come to the restaurant. So it is possible, again, this is opinion, that Reverb isn't going to put out a lot of warnings like this channels like that I've seen constantly. I've seen so many channels, everywhere from Trogly to you name it. You know, I mean, so many channels have discussed this in length, including myself on many podcasts about these frauds and these fakes and how it's going on. And it's possible that their just attitude is, hey, look, we're taking care of the customers that get screwed over. And therefore, you know, really Reverb's the victim in that case. That's how it happens. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in real life. My wife and I've experienced a fraud like that where my wife had an employee steal her credit card and use it to pay their phone bill. So I laugh just because this day it's the weirdest thing ever, right? Like, why stole the credit card to pay the phone bill? I called the phone company and I was like, you know, I talked to them and it was discovered is that this employee stole my wife's credit card and paid the phone bill. What ended up happening was the phone company just immediately reversed the charge and gave it back to me. The funny thing is because we had called the police. The police would not arrest the employee now because they said that once I was given back my money by the phone company, I'm no longer the victim. The phone company is. And the phone company did not want to press charges. Right? So you got to understand what I'm explaining here. A person stole the credit card. We know they did it. They were caught. They committed the crime. Right? They work in the building where we work. And now nothing can be done to them because there was no crime because the phone company paid us back and said they don't want to press charges. It's not worth their time. So Reverb could be taking a stance like that, like they're taking care of these people who get screwed over by these scams. And then therefore, you know, they're just going to eat it. But just be prepared to be careful because one, that's not 100% guarantee they're going to take care of it. And two, it's just obviously it's going to be scary, frustrating things. So you got to be a little cautious now, and that's why a little segue here. I would love to tell you guys how we did it because it was so cool. I mean, like it's so cool. When we did the Badlands guitars, our first thought was exactly that. We're going to make 50 limited guitars, and who knows if they'll do, you know, what anybody will think. But we thought the first thing was fakes, right? Somebody will make fakes, and so there is. I dare say not the word technology, that won't make sense, but let's just say there's something in the guitars that helps us decipher real quick, not only if the guitar is real, but who actually owns it. So everyone who bought one of the original 50, that guitar is tied to you forever. Even if you sell it, we'll know exactly whose guitar it was. And I know what you're thinking, like, well, the serial number, and you can see the sales. We don't even need the serial. We don't need to look up anything. We can look at the guitar. If you notice when you guys have said what your names and stuff, if you guys notice when you say your names, I just know the number. Because I've looked at sales reports, I just know that there's a cross connection in that. That's all I can say, because, again, we don't want anybody to be able to decipher much, and I don't think you can decipher anything from what I just said. So. But we did, and that's just one of many things we did to make sure that if anyone ever called us one day and said, hey, I'm looking at this, Badlands guitarist from a couple years ago, is it real? We want to be able to actually tell if it was real or not, or if it was faked, and if it was faked, where it was faked from and why. So there you go. It has an Apple tag in it. That's exactly right. They all have an Apple tag. We routed an Apple tag into it. And there is a builder, actually, who puts Apple tags in their guitars. I forget who they are. If somebody knows, can you put the name of the builder? They put it on their Instagram. They were basically, like, they took a drill press and drilled a hole in the back of the guitar and then stuck an air tag in there. And I think they cover it up or something. Or no, they hide it. It goes underneath the springs. They made a little compartment. Does anyone know who that was? Some builder was putting Apple tags as like a feature in their guitars. So there you go. All right. Okay, so let's go to the next subject. That was a lot of talk about reverb and guitars. We have Nathan says, hey, oh, that was nice. Nathan just said, hey, you're the best guitar maintenance and mod guy, Phil. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. It's always nice to get a compliment. I appreciate it. Will, thank you so much for the super chat. Glenn says, hey, The economical guitars with light-colored necks seem unfinished. Some people treated them with true oil, boiled linseed oil. Is this advised? If there is no finish on your neck, like even if it's a maple neck, sure, of course, you can use gunstock oil. You can use true oil. Boiled linseed oil works. All three of those, yeah. Is it advised? Sure. I mean, I don't see why not. Some people caution you over time. You get buildup and stuff, and you'll have to kind of like take it down and reapply it, you know, over time. My experience is you're not going to put that much on there, and it's fine. I use gunstock oil, but you can use true oil too. I have both. Use them both. I have a couple other brands of stuff that I've tried that companies have sent me, and it's all worked fine, but it's just, to me, it's always just the same, you know, can of something. Same cans I grab that I've had downstairs in the shop forever. That works really good too. For me though, so you know, for me personally, not for like a customer, to me, if I'm applying like gunstock or true oil or something like that, linseed oil, boiled linseed oil to a neck, whatever that neck is, you know, unfinished neck, I'm usually doing that because I've repaired something and I need to blend it. Right. And that's what the appeal to me to do that is sometimes, you know, you end up doing some kind of work on the neck and now there's going to be a discolorization in where you sanded. As soon as you take some material off, whether it's, you know, off the wood, you're going to have a different color and stuff. And sometimes those finishes are those. So sometimes the true oil, that's what it'll do, is help you blend that out and you don't have to stain or anything. So. Man, you guys really are gross. You guys are all like chicken grease and bear grease. I guess. Use whatever you guys want, but I didn't recommend it. Okay. Rich says, hey, which guitar and tools should I buy to practice fret leveling? I want to learn this, but don't want to ruin my guitars. Look, if you want a workout, get a Glary guitar. That's a good guitar, man. There's no the likelihood of you getting a Glary with good frets. So if you're hoping to buy a guitar with bad frets, that would be the guitar to get. A Glary. That's easy enough. Or you can just go in your local mom and pop store and look to see what, you know, kind of grungy guitars they got laying around. Sometimes they always have these inexpensive guitars laying around in the shop. It's been sitting there with a lot of fret sprout and needing leveling. Tools wise, obviously I'm going to recommend StuMac. Everybody has different opinions. They are expensive. They're not needed. You know, if you're not a professional, you don't need a professional style tool. However, I always tell people you don't regret buying quality tools. At least I don't. Buy once, cry once, as they say, right? I just like them. If you live out, you're in the U.S. because I see U.S. currency, but if you're outside the U.S., there's other, you know, there's Crimson Guitars. There's a bunch of others that you can buy that's going to be a lot cheaper than StuMac overseas. And there's other suppliers as well. But again, a lot of people are going to give you some side opinions on that. In other words, like, oh, go with this guy, go with these guys. They're probably not wrong. I don't know. But because remember, I'm not recommending StuMac for another reason than all my tools have been StuMac for decades, right? I've said this before. StuMac has sent me some tools since I've been on YouTube. This is true. And if that changes, you know, like your, you know, how you feel, my biasness comes in, I understand that. I just didn't feel like if you really want to know the true bias, you should know this. Even though StuMac has sent me tools, all the tools they have sent me, I'm not exaggerating, are the exact tools I've already had. It's just they've changed a little bit aesthetically over the years so that the tools I have, when I use them, they don't look exactly like what they have now. So they only sent me tools so I would have the newest versions so that when you saw them, you would know where to look like on the website. So it's not like I was like, oh, they sent me tools. I almost have duplicates of all my StuMac tools because I have the ones that I've had forever. And that's the only exception to that is I've given a bunch of tools to Ralph. Right. Oh, and Nathan, I'll give a few to them. I'll go, oh, they sent me a new one, so you can have the old one, kind of thing. But so you know, like I said, they didn't give me tools. They just want me to promote their tools because I was using the old ones. So. I will tell you this. Brian says, I have tools for the Alphalife. I'll tell you how spoiled I got, though, with tools. It is a nice, cool thing that they did hook me up. So when I do have doubles, like these, I love this toolkit, so I use it all the time. So they sent me one, so I had one, you know, even though, right? Because this one's shiny, So this is the one they want me to show you guys. Look how nice that looks. But if you watch 90% of the times you've seen this in my videos, mine's all scratched up and half the logo's gone. It's just all worn out. So they sent me a new one so I could be like, Stu Mac. And I'll tell you what's cool. It's just cool. Now I have one for upstairs and one for downstairs. So there's a couple times now where it's kind of nice to have a tool so I don't have to go downstairs and grab it real quick. I can just leave it up here. So Stu Mac is why I... And if you use my link down below, they give me 10% of whatever you buy, which is a lot of money. I mean, it is. I'm not being sarcastic. That's a lot. 10 bucks on it. If you buy $100 worth of stuff and I get 10 bucks, that's crazy. No one gives you that much. So that's why I tell you guys all the time, everyone else, the Reverb links, the Amazon links, the Sweetwater links, all the other links you see that I use, please, you can if you can call them and get a better price, call them and get a price. The amount they give me is basically... minimal to I don't want to say nothing, but it's so minimal that I'd rather you put that money in your pocket. Same with Stu Mac. If you can call them and get a better deal, I just don't think they do that. I've never seen it work. So, I mean, with Stu Mac, there's nothing you could do. So at least you're giving me like that's a nice way to support the channel. I mean, like I said, if you guys spend $1,000, I get $100. That's pretty good. Most of the other things you get like 1% or sometimes a little bit more. And there's all these convoluted reasons why you don't get paid. So, like I said, on that stuff, on the affiliate stuff, if you click it, great. If you don't, but Stu Mac, I do appreciate it because they have been taking care of me since they did this the affiliate. And I should also point out, I helped set up their affiliate program because of that reason. I wanted to, that was funny was they were like, how do we help you make content? And I said, well, you can't sponsor videos because you're in almost every video I use. You'll never pay for that. So if we could just do an affiliate thing, that'd be great. I am that old Vince says $1,000. That's just shipping. You ain't kidding. Look, I'm not kidding about. Look, I know this Stu Mac stuff's expensive. Trust me. I've paid. I bought everything at one point, so I understand it, and I still kind of do. So I still order stuff here and there without kind of asking them for a favor. Tito, thanks, man. That's a huge, I got a happy birthday super chat for sure. Thank you again. All you guys, thank you. Happy birthday, Phil. Please treat yourself to your favorite beverage this weekend. Yeah, what is that going to be? I don't know. I don't know. But I'll let you know next week what it ends up being. Ezra says, hey, happy birthday from Sweden. Thank you, man, so much. That's where I want to go next. I want to go to Sweden, like really bad. New guitar day. I ordered a Tribute G&L Legacy and Sunburst Rosewood fretboard. I want to upgrade the locking tuner's 2-pin. Your thoughts on name brand versus generic? For that, I like the Hipshot tuners. These. I also like the ratio tuners for that guitar. Hold on, Hipshot tuners. I'm going to show you both. So you guys are familiar with what I'm going to show you. Just let me do this. I always pull them up in Stu Mac. I know I've been talking about Stu Mac, but I told you guys this. A secret I always tell you guys. Almost every single thing, whether you realize it or not, is at Stu Mac. So if you use Stu Mac, you'll be so much happier when you're looking for products like this. You can find on Stu Mac, get all the parts numbers and stuff, see all this stuff. And then either if you don't want to buy it from them, I'm never going to tell you, you know, anything other than just buy it where you feel comfortable, but you can resource it here. So these Hipshot Grip Lock tuners are fantastic and they have the plates. And I've showed you that in the past, this plate, see, they have the two holes like you do. These plates will go over it and sure, you'll have a little plate here, but they work great and they feel great and they're amazing. And you can get the open gear ones or the closed gear. If you don't want to do those, you can do the ratio tuners, which will also have small adapter plates that you won't have to look at. And the other option is you can actually find the actual locking tuners that pop in there. But I would go with one of those two because I'm a huge ratio fan and Hipshot fan. The only reason I use both is for two reasons. One, Hipshot, it's kind of strange. Hipshot's made in the USA, but it's cheaper than ratio, even though ratio is made in China. Not that, you know, just I'm explaining. So just be aware of that. But also the ratio one, some people love the fact that each one has a different ratio and it feels, you know, so it's kind of feels really cool. But some people don't think it feels cool. Some people think it feels weird. I use both, but most of my guitars have Hipshots and I've been very upfront about this. Again, most Megatars have hip shots because hip shots are cheaper than ratios. So, it's just, you know, I like both tuners equally. I couldn't tell you I could pick one over the other for any other reason. So I just go hip shot most of the time because it's half, like not quite. It's like $70 versus $120 US. So enough to where I feel like hip shot is a safe bet to go. And I stand behind those so much. So many of my guitars have hip shots and ratios. Tarnished Viking, hey man, says happy birthday, bro. Mine's in 2 days. Ah, Leo's rule. Ah, happy birthday. Eh, that's awesome. Yeah, Leo's my wife was just saying the other day, somebody goes, oh, he's a Leo. And she goes, he's very much a Leo. And I don't know what that means because I don't read all the things. Whatever you call this stuff, I don't know what you call that. See, I don't even know what it's called. I just know there's different things for different months. I know I'm a Leo, obviously. But okay, so Leo's rule. Cyber says, Phil, Guitar Center canceled my layaway, sold the guitar to someone else, all without a phone call to come get it. They said corporate ended layaway for most stores. No refund yet either. Yeah, so when we talked about the no layaway at Guitar Center, and that's why I always love you guys, and I love to have this weekly community talk, because, again, you know, we talk about this stuff, and then from you guys, I learn more information. So since that episode, I learned a bunch of stuff. So many of you guys reached out. Thank you guys so much for giving me information like, my store does it, my store doesn't, my store doesn't, my store does it. A lot of people told us that a lot of the stores did do away with layaway, but also they implemented like a zero financing thing. So that's what they really went. They kind of like, they were doing zero financing. So a lot of stores did that. One store, and again, I'm just telling you what people said. One person who emailed said they're an employee at a Guitar Center, and they said that they got rid of layaway earlier this year in their store when they got rid of commissions for them. Again, I'm just telling you what this person said. I haven't, you know, like I'm not verifying it like a news reporter or anything. I can just tell you what was said to me. But either way, yeah, it looks like the layaways cut for most of the stores, although I've seen where some stores kept it. And there seems to be no logic to it when we were seeing what stores kept it and what stores got rid of it. So I, like I said before, I'll say it again to them. I think it's a bad move. I think it's one of the things that they have that Sweetwater doesn't have. Look, in this type of world, but that's why your mom and pop's going to be more valuable now. Let vote with your wallet. In my opinion, Guitar Center isn't trying really hard to make it your money. So take it to the mom and pop stores, right? At this point, if I'm buying online, I'm buying at Sweetwater, okay? Has nothing to do with anything. So you know, today, again, to be 100% transparent, Guitar Center has reached out to the channel and asked me to be an affiliate. And not only have they asked me to be affiliate, the affiliate company that they're working with is the company that Sweetwater works with and other companies. So why that's important to you is normally to do this stuff, you have to, like, I do a 1099, right? Or a W-2. I got to do a W-2. I got to fill out all this stuff. I got to put my EIN number, all this, do all this crazy stuff. Because they're working with a company I already work with. It's really just like I accept it and I'm all of a sudden affiliate. And then within a week, I can be like, hey, buy crap at Guitar Center. I actually told them today that I'm basically not interested. So, you know, that I don't really feel that the Sweetwater thing works out all that great. It works out okay. And it's nothing, no fault to the Sweetwater guys. It's just how it's been working. But basically what I was going to say is that I'm telling you exactly what I'm backing up what I'm saying, which is, in my opinion, if you're buying online, you should probably buy from Sweetwater and then AMS if you like those plans. Z-Sounds and AMS are basically the same type of companies, and they have really great payment plans. Or Sweetwater. And then if you're buying in person, like going in a store, it's time to go to the mom and pops. You should. I don't even go to Guitar Centers anymore. I don't even try. And if that's all you got around you, I understand it. Look, I get it. I'm just telling you my advice. I just know how this ends. I'm not saying Guitar Center is going to go out of business. I just know that if you can go to a mom and pop store, you're better off supporting them in the long run, not only because it's, you know, they're mom and pop, because it's better for you. They're going to have better features. They're going to treat you better with your money. You know, we've seen this when companies go through whatever Guitar Center is going through, they're going to get, I don't know, maybe get worse before you get better. Again, that's just my opinion. I have nothing against Guitar Center. I'm just telling you what I see. So as when I say what I see interacting with tens of thousands of guitar players each week, communicating one more, you know, back and forth, you see some trends, and that's the trend. So I'm sorry that happened to you, Cyberman, but at least you got your money back, and now you can get something even cooler somewhere else, and now you know. And thank you for sharing that with us, man. The next one was, hi, may I know what's your thought about G&L Comanche guitar with the Z-coil? Is it good? And would you do a deep dive about it? I would love to do a deep dive on some more G&L guitars. I really like G&L guitars. This G&L guitar I have, this ASAT G&L that I have that they made for me, is one of the best sounding guitars I own. It has G&L pickups in it, their humbuckers. When they built this for me, they asked me if I wanted Seymour Duncan's, and I said, no, let's put your G&L pickups in it, because I thought, that'd be cool. It's your pickups, your guitar. It's definitely one of the best sounding guitars I have. I would love to do a G&L with Z-coils. Absolutely. So the answer to your question is yes. Will I do it? I'll try. I'll get it in there. It's one of those guitars I would love to do a deep dive on. And of course, when you mention stuff and bring it up, it just makes it, you know, foremost in my mind. I appreciate that. Barry says, Francatelli question. Okay. Three-way switch, middle position, bridge and neck pickups. Yep. Is 75% volume of the neck and bridge position. Any ideas? Sounds to me like you're out of phase. You're not mentioning the nasal sound, but that's what would cause the drop off. So I would pick one of the pickups and swap the ground and the hot. So that would be what I would do. So, because you want to make sure, basically, you're, well, also, oh, could be your parallel and not in series. So basically, here's what happens. I'm not looking at your switch. You need to make sure two things. One, make sure your pickups are in not out of phase with each other, so that you're going to perceive a lower sounding tone. It's going to get really kind of like a little nasal, a little high end. But also, you want to make sure that your pickups are in series. In other words, that when you use the middle position, they should be equally as loud, if not a little louder, than when they're individual. And that could be your switch as well, too. So that's, to fix that, it's super easy. You can look that up. But those are the two things that are going to cause that problem. I hope that helps. Dave the Pious says, thinking about getting a PRS Custom 24, I bail you for this. Okay. Wondering if I'd regret not getting an S2 if I get an SE. Oh, okay. That's a better question on the guitar front, right? An SE versus an S2, which is better? So you're talking about the Custom 24. So to keep things easy, and if you don't mind, I'm going to talk about the PRS SE Custom 24, and I'm going to talk about the SE 2408 S2, because the 2408 has the pattern thin neck. Because on the standard Custom 24 S2s, it has a pattern regular. It's a chunkier neck than the SE. And I want you to, apples, thinner necks. I have no justifiable reason to explain why I like the S2s over SEs. I like S2s over SEs. Is that a little bit of that whole, you know, 20 years of like, American-made guitars are the best, and that's just in my brain over the Korean and Indonesian ones? Sure. Is there something legitimate to that? No. I reviewed the SEs, I reviewed cores, and I reviewed S2s. Not only have I owned all those, but I've reviewed them and kind of dissected them. And even dissecting them, I mean, the differences are so minimal that there's nothing to justify the money. So here's why I say it like that. I would say that if you, this is the only way I can say it. If you buy an SE and your fear is that you'll be haunted not to get the S2, get the S2, right? If your fear is that you get the SE, you're missing out. You're not missing out on anything. They're both equally good guitars in their own ways. And they don't even have better pickups than each other. It's not even like the S2 is an upgrade in pickups. They're basically the same pickups. It's just, you know, one's made in the USA. And fit and finish, they're the same. But there is some differences in how they make them, and there's some coolness to it. I prefer the S2s, but it's not real. It's not based on real things. And also, just so we're all clear, I prefer the S2s over the cores. I have not found a core that I like as much as the S2. I just like the way the feel and the shape of it. So I'm drawn to the S2. So again, I just need to make sure that's out there, because, you know, One of my favorite PRS, obviously Nathan made me a great guitar, so that's a great guitar. But I'm talking about out of the PRS I bought. My favorite PRS that I bought right now is still probably my S2 single cut right there, and then my CE bolt-on. And those over the cores, over my hollow body, over my everything else, right? I mean, obviously Nathan's guitar. See, Nathan's guitar, a lot of you guys go, what about Nathan's guitar? To me, Nathan's guitar isn't a PRS. It's better than a PRS. I actually feel shame when I say the guitar that Nathan made for me is a Paul Reed Smith. I feel shame because I think that's an insult to the guitar he's made for me. What he made me is a guitar that doesn't, he made me the guitar that I had, you guys have seen the video, right? Obviously I was teared up a little bit and stuff, right? When Nathan made that PRS for me, it was based on everything he had heard me, because remember, he was my employee, he worked with me at repairing guitars. It was everything I complained that I didn't like about PRSs, he basically did for me at the PRS factory. So it's hard for me. So I just want you guys to be clear, because sometimes some people go, I saw you said you love this PRS the most, but what about Nathan's guitar? I'm like, Nathan's guitar to me is different. It's just not a PRS. It's better than a PRS. It's like if Paul Reed Smith ever gave, you know, he would never do that. But if he ever asked me like, Phil, we want to make you a PRS. I just hand him Nathan's guitar and be like, do that. Thanks. And then he would go, nope. And then he put it down. But seriously, like that's what I would do. So back to it. I like the S2 over the core. I don't know why that is. Maybe because I'm working class all the way through and through, and I'm always going to like a pickup truck over a BMW. I don't know what my deal is, man. I don't know. Burgers over steaks, beers over wine. I don't know what the deal is. S2s. Why SE? Why don't I like the SE more than the S2? I don't know. But I like the SE so close to it that I could, I can't say I like the SE more than Coors, but it's close. So there you go. So that's my answer to your question. If you want an SE, but you're afraid you'll miss out if you get an S2, I don't think you're going to miss out. But if you get one, if you're thinking about getting an SE and you think you might want an S2, get the S2. Especially get the S2 used, man. You can still find them for a song. They're not that expensive compared to SEs. They're not cheap, don't get me wrong, but it's comparable. You can get them. Paul, thanks for the super chat. Damien says, hey, what is your suggestion for the best Strat style guitar for 2000-ish budget? Oh, I don't know. How are you going to? No, I'm just kidding. I probably play Surf Garage and early rock. Any qualities look for in a good Strat? I've never had one. I mean, a $2,000 budget, it's kind of like, what car would you buy for $150,000? I'm just saying. So you know, when I get that question, that's the only way I can read that question. Hey, Phil, I'm thinking about looking for a reliable car for about $100,000, $130,000. What do you suggest? And I'll be like, anything, everything. Same thing, $2,000 Strat. Dude, in Strats, dude, I can name $200 Strats you can get. So let's just start there for fun. $200, I think you can get Earth Strat. It's going to be great. For $500, I think you could get a ton of Squire Strats that are good and Sire Strats that are good. And Schecter Strats in the $600-$700 range are great. $1,000 range Strats, I tend to like, if you can find used USA ones, those are great. Made in Mexico Strats definitely are really great. Like I said, we've talked about sometimes the fit and finish on the recent Strats over the last couple of years haven't been great, but that fit and finish is usually not in things that you have to worry about, like finish flaws in the finish or issues like that, defective materials or warped necks. It's more like in fret finish. It's hands-on guitar. So there hasn't been a whole lot of hand time on the guitar. That can be, most of that can be solved with $100 to a good guitar tech. Once you talk $2,000, oh man, there's so many great guitars. You can get, you know, American Professional. I mean, I have American Professional Strat. I have the Army Green. It's olive green, but I call it Army Green. A lot of you guys have seen, that I've had it for years. Love that guitar. I've had that since the very beginning of this channel. I have no reason to get rid of it. I love it. I highly recommend this Strat. I don't think you'd want anything more than an American Professional 2 Strat. Brand new, under $2,000. Just pick the color you like. I think you'll be happy. It's a great guitar. And then after that, I mean, we could go all the non-Fender brands that are really good in that price point. But I mean, you can get a Fender. So that's just where I would suggest that. Oh, and Dave the Pious, he was the one who brought up the, nope, that's the Custom 24. He was saying, Dave the Pious said, Guitar Center should offer payment plans like Sweetwater and AMS so many players use those. No, I absolutely agree. Look, I think there's, I definitely think there's opportunity for Guitar Center to do a ton of things that a lot of the stores either already do or don't do. And, oh, Octopus Hero says at $2,000 you can get the Kazel Delos as well. Yeah, of course, right? The Delos, to me, is going to be strange. I'm going to say something strange real quick. I'm not, to me, to segue off the Guitar Center's comment right now, but I like my Delos, as you know. It's one of my favorite guitars. I even like it more than the American Professional 2 that I mentioned, even my Fender Custom Shop that I mentioned. The Delos, to me, is more like a Sur. It's not like a Fender. So I like it, but I would never say it's Fender-ish. It looks like a Fender, which is what I like about it. But it's a very modern-esque Fender. The neck feels more modern. Everything feels more... like, if you were asking me, like, I want a Sur-type guitar, more affordable, definitely go Kiesel, right? If you want a Tom Anderson kind of vibed, right? There's probably a couple others that are like that as well. That's what I would say. Like, you know, kind of like in the Ibanez realm, stuff like that. Maybe go that route. But to me, when you talk Fender vibing, he said Fender, and I was thinking Surf and Fender. I still think, you know, Fender fries Fender. Even though I say I like my Delos more, because I do, it's different vibed. It's just slightly different than Fender. It's Fender-esque, but it's like Sur being Fender. It's Fender-esque, but not too much. So... Grumpy My Guitar, I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at this, but it was funny. Grumpy My Guitar says, Guitar Center should try to suck less and start from there. Again, I'd like also point out, when we talk about Guitar Center and we bring this up, I hope we all understand where the discussion is how they can be better, because obviously, really at this point, you know, you want the best, you know, products and the best choices for yourself. And a lot of people don't have mom and pops anymore. They just have the Guitar Center. So yeah, I totally agree with you, but so. Graphite and Cigar says Kiesel DC series is everything Fender should be quality wise. Well, I prefer the Kiesel stuff over Fender for sure. Like I said, unless you're just going for Fender vibe. It's like when people talk about a Gibson and they want a Gibson vibe. I have this Nags and it's very Gibson-esque. And so what's funny to me is as much as I love this Nags, I mean, I love it. And I can't say it's my favorite single cut of all the single cuts I have. But I mean, I really like it. But if somebody said, oh, I'm looking for a really high quality Gibson custom shop single cut, you know, right? What would you suggest? I would suggest the Gibson and then maybe Heritage, because Heritage is such a similar type product. To me, the Nags is for someone who's like, again, it's Gibson adjacent. It's a Gibson style, but not the vibe. Same thing with Kiesel. I think Kiesel's got the quality over on Fender, or at least, you know, in my opinion, but also not the same vibe. It's more of a boutique vibe, higher end than Fender. That's why earlier when somebody asked me about Kiesel versus Music Man, I really feel like Music Man and Kiesel are more lined up as more, because I would never put, I know it sounds horrible, but I would never put Fender on the same level as quality as Music Man. And nor should I, because Music Man stuff's not nearly as inexpensive as Fender. These are all my opinions of stuff I perceive of most of my, you know, either working on it or the stuff I have. Okay. See, Deanna says, just got a Schecter Nick Johnson and probably the best Strat I've ever had. You know, I've put my hands, like, again, once on, you know, picked up a Nick Johnson guitar once, played it for a second. I love to put Schecter. I almost have, I'm so fanboyish over Schecter when it comes to quality as a company. It's weird to me that it didn't work out with them and us on the channel. You know, like I said, they sent a couple guitars. We did some videos and then, you know, kind of went dark. I've reached out to them. I haven't reached out to them, so, you know, in a couple years, but I reached out to them and didn't get anywhere with them. And then I just bought some Schecters and put them on the channel. And I'll continue to buy them and put them on the channel because I really just really like them. But it's a lot easier for me on the business side of the channel if they can loan us some guitars and get them on the channel versus buying them and stuff. Okay. All right. What else do we got? I think that's it. I just want to make sure that I didn't miss anything. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap it up. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I'm going to have, I guess, birthday weekend this weekend. So I appreciate everybody who came and hung out. Elvis says he'd like to see the Kramer hot dog guitar on the channel. I didn't even see that guitar. It was at Sweetwater. I had the Gibson guys said something like, oh, you got to see this. Oh, no, they didn't. Sweetwater guys walk me and goes, oh, you got to see this crazy Kramer guitar. And I go, oh, yeah. And then I asked the Gibson guys about it, and they're like, what? And then they go, oh, yeah, yeah, it's upstairs somewhere. I'm like, oh. And then I didn't see it. So for those who don't know what we're talking about, Kramer made a guitar with hot dogs on it. I don't know why. So. Graphite and guitars says agreed. I wish, so he's talking about Kiesel's wishes they still offer carbon branding. Yes, I think my understanding is they stopped, right? They don't do the carbon branding, except for on like one model, they'll do carbon on there. I don't know. My guess is, you know, I kind of heard what you heard, that they stopped doing it, but I'm always curious, like if you called them and said, hey, you know, you're with money in hand, like I want this Kiesel with carbon on it. If they'll say no, you know, they probably will, but you never know. Okay. And then Mark's our last question. It says, hey, I love P90s. I have a Squire offset Telecaster, and I've been thinking of putting 90s in it. Can you recommend a brand? Have you ever tried the Dylan Talks Tone P90s? I have a video on that. I'll tell you what, this is the easiest super chat I ever did. I will, right here when I index the show, it takes me about an hour and a half after you guys. After this ends, I spend basically an hour and a half watching the show again, timestamping it. So Mark, I'm going to timestamp it. I'm going to give you a link right to the Dylan Talks Tone review I did of his P90s, so you can check them out. I highly recommend them. They're really, really good. I think you'd be happy. Most everybody who's bought them has been happy. I always kind of stay in tune with people whenever I suggest anything. I always kind of see if they liked it or not, what the feedback was. The feedback was really good. I don't know how to undo, oh, there it is. I don't know how I was going to say. I don't know how to undo that screen I was just in. All right. As always, I want to thank you guys for hanging out. I want to thank everybody for supporting the channel in all the ways. A lot of good news this week, which was really fun. And now I don't know how to end the show. Should I push buttons to say goodbye? What do? Like, I can do the whole...
Are you really buying another guitar?
I got drunk once and then found out how fast Sweetwater can ship.
I guess I shouldn't hit all the buttons at the same time. I'll figure it out. I'll figure this out. Somebody says I need a fart button. I need something. So, all right, guys. As always, I want to thank you so much for your time. Till the next time. Know Your Gear.
The Know Your Gear Podcast.